CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. We're live. It is. There he is. Look at you. You sat down just in time. Dumiso Lindy. What a pleasure to have you on the show. Simpium Tetra, me, Gareth Cliff, and you. Yes, it's Wednesday morning. It's the 1st of June, a brand new month. We've got lots of things to do, people to see, places to go. So let's get cracking. Dumiso, how the hell are you, man? It's nice to see you. What's been happening?
Yo, man, I'm good. First of all, it's just seen that waiting up at these hours. This is not easy. Batman is putting away his toys. Wow.
I'm not sure what's going on with your sound. Simpiwe, can you just have a look at that quickly, see whether there's something we can do about it? Because it's like, it's crackling. Cool. I don't know what something about your sound. It's just like, it's on and off the whole time. It's sort of coming and going. So I'm just going to take you out of there, and you too, Simpiwe, and I'll just get going on my own while you sort that out between you. We got lots to talk about this morning. Brand new month, as I said. Loads of things happening. We've got a busy show for you this morning, including, among other things, I'll check in with our guys from Revix, because I know a lot of people thinking about the Bitcoin price, which is still not great, but it's a little bit better than it was this time last week. We'll also speak to Leighton Beard later on, who is the spokesperson for the AA in South Africa. That's not Alcoholics Anonymous, but the Automobile Association of South Africa. Why? Well, I have to fill up my car with petrol today, and I'm sure you have to as well. Or if you haven't thought about it, guess what? This is the worst day to fill up your car with petrol, because it is going up in degrees, somewhere like 3-4 rand in some places. So it's a little bit crazy. You know, there's an inland petrol price and an interior petrol price rather than a coastal price for petrol. They say that it goes up in the interior because it costs more to transport it here. So I think a lot of people are a little bit confused about how and why and where and what. So we're going to find out what the petrol price is made up of. I think this will be really useful stuff. And Leighton Beard is the spokesperson for the Automobile Association of South Africa. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. I'm sure you are too. Let's see if we can sort this out here. Simpiwe, Dumiso, can you hear us now?
I can hear you guys clearly. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, it's still crackling a little bit. I wonder if it's those headphones.
Your earphones.
Just try and take those off. We'll do this. We'll do this together.
Okay. Oh, really?
So just take out the earphones and let's see if that sorts it out. Just unplug them from. Are you on an iPad?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
No. It's iPhone 1212.
Okay. No. I wonder why
that. No.
So how are you listening? Oh, now you've gone completely.
Okay.
All right. You know what, Simpiwe? You try and figure that one out while I get on with it. It's not the end of the world. I'll kick him out of the studio so you can actually talk to him. All right. So while we're going this morning, for some reason, woke up on Monday morning with this head cold, which was irritating. Managed to shake it in 2 days. I still sound a little bit blocked up, but I'm feeling much better. Just annoying because I went into the office yesterday and I was sitting there sneezing the whole time. And I've never had such violent sneezes in my life. Sounded like I was being attacked. I was like, and it's not a good sound. Not very good at all. So if you can avoid this stuff, I suppose this time of year we all get sick, right? I just feel like I've been sick a lot and it's irritating me. I mean, I know I had the COVID a little while ago. Ooh, Tabo says, good -3 morning from Bloemfontein. Bloemfontein. Jesus, I often talk about the Free State on the show and how cold it is there. -3, and it's only June the 1st. You guys are going to suffer for the rest of this and next month. Yonda says, good morning, Cliff Centralians. I love that, Cliff Centralians. And what a flipping freezing Joburg. How do you cope with this coldness? Yonda, I'm guessing you're not from Joburg. It's not even as bad as it gets sometimes. Parallel Parking says, if they raise the petrol price anymore, they will have to start protecting their government buildings from the same wrath that is happening in so many countries overseas. They are burning. Oh, yeah. I think that's something that they've got to start taking very seriously. Because people in this country get very, very angry. And when they do, they start breaking shit down. So I think the government need to start taking this quite seriously. People in this country are chatful with all of this nonsense. So a couple of things. Just got to refer to this. Sorry, Gary. When he brushed his teeth this morning, the water was frozen in the pipes. Ah, that's when you know. Now it's June. Welcome to June, everybody. Beautiful. Just when you thought you were safe. So we are streaming, and I mentioned this on Monday, for this week, we've decided to start streaming on Facebook and on Twitter as well as on YouTube. So the show can be watched live on all of those. And we'd love you to join us on whichever one you prefer. So you can do Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, whatever you prefer, whatever you like the most, whichever one is the most convenient on your phone or whatever other device you're using to listen to us. We want to hear from you. And you could drop us a comment if you would like to. Best place to do that's obviously on YouTube. So I mentioned we've got Ndumiso Lindi with us this morning. We've got Simpiwe Mtetwa. And Ndumiso, how have you been? What have you been up to? We've obviously kept track of what you've been doing in the entertainment world, but that hasn't been the easiest place to be in the last while. So what have you been doing?
First of all, is the sound okay?
Much better. It's like a million bucks compared to where we were. But you really like, they call you the gentleman of South African comedy. And, you know, you also help to nurture and find other talent, which is something I think, you know, too few people in the entertainment business do. They're so busy worrying about themselves and their own careers that they don't really spend time looking after other talent. Are you still very much involved in that stuff?
Yes, I am, especially with the show that I'll be doing later this coming weekend.
Yes.
Because you need to understand, comedy has grown to a point now, it's just taken its own form, and there's guys who just decide to just focus in their own languages, you know.
Right.
This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to stick vernac. But at the same time, they don't have the resources or the platforms that we have, the big platforms to come and perform in Joburg or to come perform in Cape Town. So I go to Eastern Cape and go find those guys and bring them to perform for the audiences in Johannesburg. So I enjoy that a lot. You know, that's my vibe.
Is there a way that you can identify talent? Is there a way that you can spot like which people you think are going to make it or not? Because obviously you also don't want to spend, you know, hours and hours and put your own reputation at risk, put someone on stage if they're not that good. So is there a way you can tell straight away? Is it the energy between them and the audience? Like, what is it exactly?
Man, you just see it when you the thing about comedy is someone has to be on stage so that you see their CV, what they are about, you know. It's that thing of walking backstage and no one talks to you, and then you go on stage. When you come off stage, all of a sudden everyone has something to say to you, you know. it's literally that.
Right.
And I always say, out of literally 5 new comedians, you'll probably find 2 who are original and they're just unique. You know,
right.
Other guys are just trying to sound like any other person you've heard. You know, you hear a comedian and you're like, oh, that's a Lois Ogola, or oh, that's a Trevor Noah, oh, that's a whoever. And then someone just steps on stage and the whole of backstage, all the other comics stand up and like, who is that? You know, so you just have to have that thing, that special thing about you. I don't even know how to describe it. For example, there's this old man I'm bringing Saturday. He's from a village in Eastern Cape. He is.
When you say old
hilarious.
Man, how old is he?
Yo, he's old, gray hair. He's a preacher by day.
Yeah.
He's,
oh wow,
that's amazing. How did you even find this guy?
His name, his stage name is Damrojana. You know, and the crazy thing is, he's a preacher by day and then a comic by night. So I found out about these comedy shows that happen in East London, where I'm from, King Williamstown, so that's my area. So I found out about these comedy shows, the gospel comedy shows, you know, Amazing Grace Comedy, something like that.
And then they just make jokes about Jesus.
You know?
Wow.
The Holy Ghost punchlines, you know.
That's so amazing. I don't know. Wow.
So I always saw his name on the poster. I'm like, okay, I saw these young guys, but who's this old man, you know? But I've never seen him perform. Anyway, then I started searching him on YouTube and just watching his stuff, and I was just blown away. Because first of all, you need to understand, with black comedy, he probably kicked in, he's still young, so he probably kicked in early 2000 with the likes of David Gao and the what's his name again, Kagiso, all those guys, you know.
Yes.
So it's always been a young man's sport, but not an old man's sport. Not that we didn't have any funny older guys. It's just that we didn't see it as comedy. They were just funny old men in
our
areas.
I mean, we always assume that like young people will be better at comedy, but that's not always true. In fact, sometimes the older people have like the life experience and the depth of knowledge, and also they come at it from a different angle. I mean, I think there's some very, very funny old people. I'm having lunch with
true.
With a relative of mine on Friday, and he's 73 or 74. He turned that old on yesterday, and we're having lunch with him on Friday. I can't wait, because he's one of the funniest people I've ever met. And I mean, you know, everyone has those guys in their family, right?
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, is you look at the likes of Barry Hilton and the Joe Parkers and the Eddie Eckstein's. You know, those guys have had enough time. Like, they've been doing comedy since 80s or 90s, you know. And then you hear about this old man, Dom Roger, who does comedy. And when stand-up, when I started stand-up comedy, I didn't even know what stand-up comedy was. And I started, what, 2004, somewhere there. So when I saw this man doing comedy, it was in that format of what stand-up was.
Yes.
Build-up, set-up, punchline, those three things. So I was like, wow, I was just blown away. Then I was like, I need to bring this man to Johannesburg, not knowing that there are other people who wanted to see him. So a whole lot of people are coming to the show. They are coming for him.
Wow. That's phenomenal. I'm so happy to hear that, man. You know, your own career has just been extraordinary. And I mean, there's some people in comedy who I think everybody has a huge amount of respect for. You, David Gao, back in the day, Flismas, when he was still doing that stuff regularly. You know, you mentioned some of the great old legends, the OGs, who kind of started the comedy clubs too. And I know that comedy's been through the worst time in the last while, but it does kind of, like in any business, and it happened across the board. It happened in media businesses. It happened in advertising and marketing. It thins out the herd. You see who's really good because they survive the tough times.
True. Ah, man, the last 2 years,
yeah,
they've been rough, especially entertainment. Well, as you say, any other industry, but we felt it. One thing I will say to you is, when it comes to lockdown and pandemic, the one thing I realized is life is short, marriage is long. Karen.
So you
could be going through all those anxieties and a bit of depression there, missing the stage and stuff, but also you're going through a lot at home. You know, you're like, you know what, let me just go and buy some essential stuff just to be alone.
No, sure. Just get out of the house.
To leave the house. We need more toilet paper.
Dude, during this pandemic, I never felt happier about the fact that I was single than over the last 2.5 years. Let me tell you something. If I wanted to lie in bed, I lay in bed. I didn't have to explain to anybody. If I wanted to make some food, I made some food. If I wanted to wander around the house, if I wanted to read something, if I wanted to get on my phone, I didn't have to check with anybody. It was heaven. It was heaven. And don't tell me.
You missed out on making banana bread, bro. I'll tell you that.
I'll be all right. Listen, ask Simpiwe. She knows me long enough. If I had to try and bake anything in the oven, I'd probably poison myself to death. That would be the last time you'd see me.
I don't think anybody would even want to try that, Gareth. Like anything that you cooked. I really don't think people would be volunteering, be like,
I mean,
Simpiwe,
I always talk about it whenever there's a birthday at Cliff Central, but the one time they asked me to buy a birthday cake, not even make a birthday cake, buy a birthday cake for somebody, I brought the worst cake. It was off. It had gone sour. I've never lived it down. So I can't even buy the right cake, let alone make it. And if it was banana bread, I just know I'd fuck that up so badly.
Oh, man.
Yes. All right. So listen, guys, there's quite a lot to talk about this morning. First of all, let's just plug your comedy show you've got coming up this weekend so that people know where to see you and where you're going to be. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I've got this awesome show, man, called Keeping Up with the Closes.
Love it.
And funny enough, how this show came about is I just got tired of going on social media and hear people be like, Xhosa people be like this, Xhosa people be like that. So I rounded up my Avengers, if I can put it like that. And these are really funny guys. So I got this young man from Eastern Cape, also from my hometown, called Lupelo Kodwa. Very funny. I did this show first time 2019. And I went and fetched that boy in Eastern Cape. What I like is to see an audience witness someone they didn't know, and he just comes and blows them away, and they're like, who is that? And then he just became a show favorite immediately. So Lupelo Kodwa, I've got Khanyisa Bunu. She's hilarious, of course. She closed the show, standing ovation last time. And I've got Tam Rojan, the old man I just mentioned now. Looking forward to him, of course. And then I've got Sia Sayer, also hilarious, award-winning comic. And then I put a touch of Johannesburg, local flavor. And then I got Skumba Shope.
We love
he
Skumba.
No introduction. He is hilarious, you know.
I'm looking
forward to that. That is happening at Theatre of Marcellus. That is in Emperor's Palace.
Okay.
This Saturday, 4th of June.
Cool.
And tickets are available at Ticket Pro. You know, so what's special about this show is, look, we perform in English all the time, man. All the time. That's our thing, you know? And I just wanted a show where guys can just express themselves the way they want to. So I came up with this show. Just once in a while, people should look forward to, not just for the comics, but for the audience also, because we've got a lot of people from Eastern Cape, Western Cape.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goonies from Durban. You know, we just come together. And it's not an easy process, man, to come from small towns and start a life keep it going in these big cities. So once in a while, they just come together and have a good laugh.
I think that's a great idea. I love it. I love that you're doing it. Thank God for you, or the Xhosas would be continually stereotyped and made fun of and mocked by the rest of us. So I do think you know, generally, Xhosas have this, I don't know, they think everyone's talking about them, but I promise you, we're actually not. Like, we've got better shit to do than worry about you guys. But anyway, let's just talk about a few things. Simpiwe's been our main researcher when it comes to YouTube, and she's always trying to find interesting people for us to talk to. And she's actually compiled a bit of a list. So I thought, you know, we're going to speak to Leighton Beard from the Automobile Association later on about the petrol price, trying to inform you. Make sure that you know what's going on. Make sure that when you hear someone bitching and moaning, you can actually make sense of it. And we'll do the same with Revix later on when it comes to Bitcoin prices and all the annoying things that are happening in the world markets. But you may also need to just escape from reality, and you might need to get onto YouTube, maybe like you do with this show, and see what's going on. So, Simpiwe, what do we got?
Okay, so I'm going to recommend 3 YouTube channels I think you need to give a watch.
All right.
Today, especially if you're looking for things that are really lighthearted, nothing to get you thinking too hard. The
All
first
right.
one
I like this.
Is Beta Squad. If you follow the Sidemen and you know what the Sidemen are all about, then you're going to love Beta Squad. It's basically a group of guys that do random things, and it's completely entertainment. Like, it is the definition of entertainment. Their latest video, they did like
hold on.
Of the weakest link.
We don't know what the Beta Squad is. Do you know, Dumiso? Because
No, this is the first time I hear about it.
Come on.
It's UK boys. It's five guys. They're from the UK. And they just do like these random videos. Like, their latest video is like the weakest link of the Beta Squad. And they rip off the weakest link. It is hilarious. It's like 30 minutes of your life that you can never get back. But I promise you, you'll be laughing from start to finish. I promise you, Beta Squad is for you. The second one, I think it's more like if you're into following other content creators, the show is called Colin and Samar. It's 2 guys, and they talk to other content creators, and they break down the business of YouTube. So their most viewed video had like 10 million views, and they speak to Mr. Beast, who is the biggest YouTuber. And he breaks down how he does all his videos. He just bought like a plot now to shoot. That man is doing, yes, I think he's like close the to beast. Like 19 million subscribers. Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast.
Yes, he gives away houses on his channel. Like, he'll be like,
oh, wow.
Yes, he'll be like, isn't oh, there's shit. A house isn't for $1.
Yeah, isn't this the same guy who does like scientific experiments in his backyard or something with his friends?
I think he started like that, and now he's okay. kind of leveled up where like he'll do videos where he recreated Squid Games, and then like he was like, whoever wins will actually take away that amount of cash. He gives away like houses. He'll just give like random people a credit card and be like, there's a limit, but he doesn't tell them how much, which is always $1 million. And then wow. they can go splurge. Like they go splurge.
All right, so basically he's like a one-man lottery.
Yes,
that's what I'm hearing.
Okay, the biggest so, YouTuber.
I had
Mr.
no idea.
Beast.
I had no idea this guy existed. You see, this is why it's important to talk to Simpiwe and to stay in touch with things. Neither Ndumiso nor I. Look at him. He looks like the biggest.
I know. Yeah, this is the guy I'm talking about. Yes,
he looks like the world's. Yeah. He looks like the world's geekiest, nerdiest. Like this is the most. This is the most famous YouTuber. This is the guy who's got the most followers on YouTube.
Yes, I'll tell you exactly wow. how many. You would be shocked tell at me. The amount of subscribers he has, because
well, he's giving $1 million. I mean, it's like entering wow. the lotto. Lots of people enter the lotto in the hopes that they'll win. If you offer people a big cash prize, they'll come.
True.
At this moment in time, he has over 90 million subscribers on
Jesus.
YouTube.
Wow.
So he's a big deal, and he's 20 something. He
Mr.
started
Beast.
When he was like 13, 14.
But look at the guy.
YouTube
I mean,
space.
He looks like so. He and... looks like, first of all, he looks like he woke up. He woke up later than me and Ndumiso this morning. Looks like he's half asleep.
He's mastered YouTube. I promise you,
right.
that guy like has mastered
Genius.
YouTube. His videos hits like ooh. If you have not watched Mr. Beast. Go watch.
No, I've seen. Yeah, I've seen some of his videos. I think that's the guy we should, as a country, we should just approach to buy us the 22 million flag. Actually, just cover that for us. We're like, okay, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. But Ndumiso, it must be nice to be in a position where, like, he probably doesn't have to worry because he's making so much money off his 90 million subscribers that $1 million when he gives it away once a month or once a week or whatever is nothing. It doesn't even touch sides. That's a very, very clever move. And the guy's obviously making great content. Otherwise, we wouldn't subscribe to him, right? And maybe I feel a bit stupid that I'm so far behind.
Yeah.
True that. Yo, the whole social media thing, man.
Yeah.
You saw it through the pandemic. People just went there for yeah. to get their lives going. And if you have money working while you're sleeping, yo, that's good for you. You know, the more subscribers you have, the better.
Absolutely.
You know, because when there was a time we were not working, of course, and you've got these ideas going, but you don't know where to put them out. There's no stage. So I called Tumi Murake, and then I was like, hey,
yeah.
let's do Instagram Live. You know, let's do Instagram Live. Remember that show we once came to your show to advertise our show?
You guys did a...
Married, but not to each other.
That's right. And that was hugely successful. But didn't you redo...
Yeah.
You did it again because it was so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that show, we had a part where we had a Q&A with the people after the show. You know, we had a
right.
Q&A, and it was really fun because people just gave us questions of relationship questions of, you know, what's happening in their relationships and stuff. They were so open to us.
Oh, that's so
they would
funny.
Give us some really personal questions, you know. So I said to her, why don't we do that part in Insta Live, you know, and people just type their questions in the what do you call it in the comment section,
right.
and we have a good time with those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it became so popular, you know, and people looked forward to it. It became a weekly thing. We still do it now, actually. It became
Amazing.
A weekly thing because Dumi was in the US and during lockdown,
right,
she was stuck in the US and I was here, so it even made it much fun like that, because while we were waiting, because we'd log on, wait for people to we tell people, yo, give us relationship questions while they're still typing, and then I'll update you about what's going on in SA. It's like, so we on level 4 now. And the president struggled to put on a mask live during the people, during the filming. You know, it's just those things. And it became that thing of now, even if you have some ideas you would have tried on stage, you can try them on that platform. So, yeah, man, the live thing, or YouTube, or it really helps.
Oh, it's huge. Really so Yonda Ndigi says, Mr. Beast is the thing. He raises money from his show, gives it away. He asks his audience to come in, and he gives them money for staying inside a house for a number of days. Well, we should all get money then, because we all did that under lockdown.
Sure.
Kim Jong-un says you should also check out PewDiePie. I've heard of PewDiePie. That I have heard. You must listen to him.
Yeah, that's the number one YouTube channel.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, Gary says you must...
So Mr. Beast is second.
Right.
And then that one has over 111 million subscribers.
Jesus.
So...
Wow.
Wow.
YouTube is the place to be, guys.
Gary says Beast is a good kid. He was on the Joe Rogan show. And then Yonda continues. I listened to him on Joe Rogan. And you will hear how he does it and how YouTube, how he Ubers you and gives you cars. He's been broke many times. He uses all his money. He gives all of it away. So he doesn't keep any for himself. That's amazing.
He spent, there's a video where he explained how he lost $500,000 making a video. And how, like, one of his first viral videos was like a brand approached him and they're like, oh, give $5,000 away. And he's like, make it 10. It looks better for the thumbnail. It will go viral. Wow. And then, like, they gave $10,000 and he literally gave it to a homeless man. And he was like, here's $10,000. Boom. Well, one of his first videos that went viral.
According to Gary, he goes into a restaurant, he orders a glass of water, and then he tips the waitress $10,000. Sure.
Whoa. Okay.
I would want to watch that, because the reaction you get from somebody is going to be so beautiful. So I see this. I do see this. Like, a lot of people give, you know, YouTubers or Instagram influencers or any of those people shit. But I'll tell you what, this is clever. This guy's got very smart formula. Ooh. This. I like it a lot. All right, so we've got some homework to do, right, Simpiwe? We've got to start watching these channels.
Yes. If you don't enjoy them, please let me know. But I'm telling you, you guys are going to have a good time. You guys are going to laugh. You're going to, especially Beta Squad and Mr. Beast. I think just how they shoot their content. And beautiful. Also the nice thing about these channels is that the production on it is very, like, well done. Like, it's almost like Netflix level, because they get, like, the props and they have, like, studios now where they're shooting, so you're not just seeing somebody in front of the camera, welcome back to my channel, and just talking for like 3 hours and nothing else is going on.
Right,
you know, it's like people just really, there's different shots, you know, takeaways. Yeah, guys.
Is there a YouTube language? Everyone sounds the same, especially with the ladies. Is there like a set? Everyone, hey guys,
welcome back to my channel.
Hey guys, so I have this eyeliner. Everyone sounds like Kim Kardashian.
What you have to do? Yes. Have you seen when they put the, especially the makeup girls? Oh no.
Yeah.
It's a thing. And they're like, so today we'll be reviewing this iPhone, and then they just put it in front of the screen. And then, like, once it's in front of the screen, they're just like, yeah, so sorry for the blurry background, but here's the product. As you can see, there's a lot of colors in front of this cover. So yeah, let's just look at this cover for a minute, guys. So I really like how it's packaged. I don't know. Do you guys want me to do more of these videos? Just comment down below. Give it a thumbs up.
So Simpiwe,
I'll do more cover reviews.
That is a beautiful iPhone cover.
It's of Erica Badu.
I know. I recognized it straight away. So you want to see how?
That is good save.
Look at this. Let me show you my embarrassing screen cover. Mine is broken, and it has been broken for like a year, and it's so shit. Just look at this. Okay, so here you can see it's cracked there. Oh, you see that?
Mine is like that too.
Oh my gosh!
The back is all scratched and broken and destroyed.
I'm judging
up here. Look at the corner. Wait. Look at the corner. Look at the corner. How fucked that is. Look. Gosh. See the corners?
Hold on.
Oh, no.
So bad. Yeah.
Look, this is not a cover anymore. Wait,
it's broken at the bottom here, too.
We're also like that.
All right. Dumiso, let's see yours.
I'm there.
Oh, Jesus. Yours is even worse than mine. Oh,
horrible.
It's peeling away, even. Oh, no. But no, guys.
Dumiso, so I wanted to, the other day I went into one of those shops because I was doing something next door at, I don't know, the grocery store or whatever. So I went to one of those shops to try and find a cover. So I didn't realize I'm about four phones behind. Okay, so this is, I think it's an iPhone 11 or something. So I realized, like, not only, there used to be a time where I was up to date, you know, and it was important for me to have the newest phone and all that shit. I'm officially an old man, like the guy you're putting on stage. I'm like that dude you're putting on stage this weekend, because now I don't give a shit. And I don't care that my phone is broken on the side there. And I don't care that it's scratched on the back. And there was a time I was so proud of having this up-to-date piece of technology.
That was me, but I'm just—I don't care anymore. No. I'm like, hey man, it's covered. It's covered. Even if it's peeling, it's covered. Oh, it's fine. I can, if I make a phone call, I can watch social media. I can whatever. It's fine. It's really, I'm still on iPhone 10. I gave away my phone. I think I was 12 or something. I gave it to my cousin because I was thinking I'm gonna get the other one following that. I'm still waiting. I don't put much effort to it anymore now.
Well, Cabello says that is a shit cover, Gareth. Get a new one.
Definitely. I'm with Cabello.
Tabo is saying, you cheapskate, sis. Get a new cover, man. I think he's talking to both of us, Dumiso. So we...
Let the people preach.
And Kampamba says, oh, LMAO, I have the same exact cover. Oh, yes, sis. So we all have shit covers. Listen... Simpiwe shows her beautiful cell phone cover off this morning, and we all show how crap ours are. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I do love
and
it.
And I'm judging you guys. I'm heavily judging you guys.
Right.
Because I'm a bit of a stickler when it comes to covers and screen protectors. Like, I'm that girl. The minute you get a phone, get a cover, get a screen protector immediately. And then I have a bit of an obsession with, like, switching up my covers. So, like, I've had, like, a good over 10 covers. Because after a few months, you need to switch it up. You need to. I can't always have Erykah Badu on my side. No.
The covers I don't understand is the ones that now have a bit of a wallet situation going on, where people are just putting on their bank cards and stuff. I won't survive there. My wallet must do that portfolio, and then my phone has its own portfolio.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I can also keep a separate wallet and phone because I'm scared if I lose one, at least I have the other, right? But the reality is I'm using this thing to pay now with Apple Pay for almost everything. So the problem is if I lose this, and we were talking about this on Monday on the show, actually saying, like, back up your shit now and make sure that you have all of your information on some other device as well. I mean, we all say, oh, I'll get round to it. If you don't do that today and something happens to your phone today, like, just think about all this stuff, and we'll talk to the Revex guys just now, but imagine if you have even like a tiny little bit of crypto or your bank details are on there or whatever, you're going to shit yourself without your phone. You need to back this stuff up ASAP.
Oh, man, that's true.
So
that's
it's a true.
And I sometimes write my notes, my ideas and punchlines. So I lose that. My word, I didn't save. My jokes are gone.
Yeah, because you would keep a lot of your material there. Do you record voice notes or do you make notes in writing?
I do both. I do both. I write notes and then I record. And then when I get home, if I'm far from my book, then when I get home, I write it down. I'm still old school. I need to write things down so that I have this idea that when I write things down, my brain records them better than typing it. You know, so when I get home, I write my ideas down from my phone. But if you are right, I need to start backing my stuff up in my laptop or whatever, wherever.
Definitely.
Back it up because, when the phone just disappears sometimes, you're like, what happened? Like, then your life is gone. There's nothing that hits the most when you're in the club or party and then you feel your pocket. Life stops.
The worst, right?
Nothing. There's Like that's it for the night. You like,
you finished.
Oh man.
You just want to get out of there and cry. You just want to cry.
Exactly.
All right. Let's look at a couple of stories in the news this morning. Researchers at UJ have built an RDP house in just one day using 3D concrete printing. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is here. Not enough houses are obviously being built in South Africa, and we have existing projects that are not being completed fast enough. Budget constraints are always the factor that governments say, hindering the progress of social housing developments. And we know how many people live in shacks in South Africa and informal settlements. Can you imagine? We were complaining about waking up at -3 in Bloemfontein. Mm. Imagine you live in an informal settlement there, and that wind is howling around your tiny little shack with the corrugated iron around the sides, and you are freezing inside. I mean, that's just unacceptable. So what we've got is the Department of Science and Innovation at UJ, as well as the School of Civil Engineering and the Built Environment. They're currently looking into this very topic. So according to them, they've embarked on a program to pilot and demonstrate 3D printing for sustainable human settlements in South Africa. They've identified 3D printing as a transformative technology that has the potential to revolutionize housing.
Whoa.
Wow. That's
so
great.
Wait.
Yeah.
So the 3D is like what it builds the house? Like it's.
So it actually. So what you can do with 3D printers is you can use any kind of substance to make the stuff. It's almost like, you know, those things that you use cake icing. It can spit out plastic. It can spit out concrete. It can spit out all kinds of fiberglass and things like that too. So obviously they can make these houses. And this is a big breakthrough. They said they've actually demonstrated it already. And they built it in one day using 3D concrete printing. So it basically does one line at a time. And this thing will move around on a, you know, it's basically got a structure that it moves around on the printer. And then it goes and builds this RDP house. So this is very, very good news. Yeah. Amazing, amazing stuff. So you see, UJ are still delivering the goods and on things that we absolutely need in South Africa.
But now we live in a country when you have those kind of technologies or developments happening, and then you get other people saying, they're stealing our jobs, these machines. So how are they going to handle that?
Well,
already when we had Uber arriving here, all these taxi services, and then you get that our mini bus taxis.
If something comes along,
stealing our jobs.
Do me so. If something comes along that's better than you and it replaces you, you deserve it, right?
Mm.
I mean, really, like I'm not going to feel sorry for you or anything. So here's another story. I don't know if this is fair, but a lot of people will say it is. Households who are earning under 22,000 rand a month can get the city of Joburg to write off their debt. So if you live in a home and you have a combined income of under 22,000 rand a month, a small business, non-profit organization, or a church, who, if you're in arrears with the city of Joburg, you qualify for a debt write-off. Successful applicants will receive a 50% immediate debt write-off. The balance of the debt will be divided into thirds, of which one third will be written off each year for 3 years. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's terrific, but what about everybody? We obviously can't afford to give everybody this, but I don't know if that's entirely fair. I mean, I do think that anyone who's earning under 22,000 rand for the household probably shouldn't be paying that much to the city of Joburg anyway, if you ask me, because we've already got taxes, we've got petrol prices, we've got e-tolls, which no one pays, but they're there. We've got increasing electricity prices, which are Eskom, not the city of Joburg. We've got other costs. We've got food costs going up. We've got the school fees that are going up. So I do think that there are people who are struggling at the moment, and anywhere we can create relief for them is probably a good idea. My problem is that everybody who's been paying, whether you're rich or poor, those people should be given some relief, and the people who have not been paying should be paying. That seems fair too. So it's almost like if you can prove that you've been paying all your rates and taxes up to now, you're up to date, and you've never missed a payment, you should also get some relief. They should say, well, you've been a good payer, so we'll give you some off as well. If we're going to give people who earn under this amount that, you know, some relief, then we must give you some. Because the real bad guys are not the ones who can't afford it. We understand some people have had a really tough time, but the ones who won't pay for it, so those people must also have to pay now. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think there was a survey done that most South Africans actually earned like under 20,000. So already that is talking to a majority of people in the city of Joburg, I guess. So that would be interesting to see how many people are they bills is going to be completely, you know, written off. And how much are you currently paying? You know, like, are we looking, and how much is that bill? Because I think it's okay to let go of maybe like an 8,000 rand. But if someone's owing like what, 15, 20, 30, what's going on there, chief? Because that's a lot of money.
And
now.
And
that's money that can change certain things.
And let's not pretend that the people who are suddenly getting relief and weren't paying before are now they're going to start paying. They'll just wait for the next relief. So it's also like the unemployment thing. Speaking of unemployment, here's a good bit of news. We very seldom get good economic news anywhere in the world at this time. So this is something worth at least being a little bit relieved by. So Statistics South Africa provided some welcome news yesterday showing that the country's unemployment rate declined over the first quarter of the year. Even though it's only a small decline, it's better than it going up, which we thought it might do. The official unemployment rate was 34.5%. It's way, way too high. But that's better than 35.3%, which is what we had in the prior reporting period, which means that we've gone almost a percentage point down. Now, you know, cynical people say, it doesn't matter. It's 1%. It doesn't make any difference. But I think that what we've realized is that we've got a lot of work to do in this country, and there are people who need that work, and we've got to hire people to do it. So perhaps there is a small bit of relief. We'll take the good news because we need good news. The biggest job gains were recorded in community and social services, also in manufacturing and in trade. So we added, if you look at the numbers, it's actually quite impressive. We added 281,000 jobs in social and community services. Very good. We added 263,000 jobs in manufacturing. We added 98,000 jobs in trade. But we did lose jobs in private households. This would be domestic workers. We lost 186,000 of those. Finance. You know, if 186,000 people have laid off their domestic workers, then those people are really struggling.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people downsize after the pandemic. They,
for sure.
After lockdown, actually, they were just downsizing. They're just letting go of people. Like, I'm sorry, but we can't afford.
Correct.
I'll clean my house myself. You know, so it's just rough.
We also saw job losses in finance. 72,000 people lost their jobs in finance. That's quite it's quite a big number. Construction, 60,000 down, and agriculture, 23,000 up. But overall, we are down on unemployment by 1%, which is a very good bit of news. So if you want to know more about that, you can find out with Business Tech. They've published quite a nice article about it. Hey, if we can keep on pushing this down, even if it's just a little bit every time, we will be thrilled to do so.
Yes.
One quick headline that I want to throw in before we get to Revix. Apparently, and this is something I didn't know, Johannesburg is getting a makeover, a 240 million rand makeover in one of its oldest suburbs. So the executive mayor of Joburg, Paul Palatsi, says one of the oldest suburbs is going to be set for a 240 million rand facelift, including a multi-purpose center and an urban farm. The project is being managed by the Joburg Development Agency, the project manager noting the appointment value for phase one was 35 million rand. You know which suburb this is? Bertrams. Bertrams, one of the oldest suburbs in the city, will soon boast a shiny new facility, and they're going to build an urban farm. That's where they can grow plants along the walls and on the roof of buildings. So we'll see. I mean, we need to start thinking this way.
Wow. Right?
We need to start coming up with plans for restoring these places, because Bertrams is not the greatest part of town. It's near Jeppe's Town. It's between Hillbrow, you know, Ellis Park Stadium.
Sounds dangerous, but
it's that sort of area. Yeah.
You have to go through fire to get to that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, worth taking a look at, and worth seeing what the government of Johannesburg, the city of Johannesburg, comes up with here. At least they're thinking. We need to be able to start thinking about things like this. So great news all around. Right. Dumiso Simpiwe, and everybody else. We've got to get Chris Beamish on. Chris is from revix.co.za, and we talk to Chris or to Brett or to Sean every couple of weeks so we can find out what's going on in the world of cryptocurrencies and in the economy at large. So, first and foremost, Chris, nice to see you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's nice to see you all.
Good. Okay, Chris, another week of pretty bizarre developments in the world of cryptocurrency. I mean, there's always something going on. So let's find out. Obviously, in this current market, people are very, very nervous. What caused the market to sell off, and why is it bouncing back now? I mean, the last 2 days have not been too bad.
Yeah, jeepers. I mean, luckily the last 2 days we've seen a nice bounce, but prior to that we saw quite a dramatic sell-off. But realistically, that's got a lot to do with just interest rates and government decisions and that kind of stuff. And if I explain that quite simply, it's government only really has a few like weapons in its arsenal to try and control the economy. And the main one that they've been using is interest rates. Mm-hmm. So if they want to stimulate growth, they obviously lower rates to make business easier for everyone. Mm-hmm. After COVID pandemic, they lowered rates across the globe to like historically low levels. And these low rates caused rampant inflation and allowed us to actually continue businesses to operate and stuff like that. And that's caused the massive inflation that we've actually experiencing now, like 25 rand a liter of petrol that we're going to be paying from this week onwards, which is absolutely nuts. Now we're actually just seeing the opposite of that. So governments across the board are trying to actually raise rates to fight inflation. And that basically makes businesses more expensive to run, less profitable, and then their stock values start to plummet because they're less profitable. And with the stocks goes crypto and other assets, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But like you said, we've seen a pretty nice bounce in the last like week or so. Bitcoin bounced from about 27,000 to about 32,000. We saw some relief in some stocks. I mean, it could be a potential bottom in the market for now, or it could just be a relief rally after a very, very sharp sell-off. I couldn't confidently tell you which for now.
Yeah, and you're not here to give us information that is going to be 100% accurate. If you could do that, you would be Nostradamus and everybody would be investing with you. The fact is that people have to take their chances. As an educated guess, you have to figure out what's going on in the world. What you guys have been useful in helping us with at Revix is that you've given us some information on what's going on behind the scenes and what kinds of things move the price of crypto or the price of gold or the price of currencies up or down. And at the moment, I think a lot of people are very nervous. When I last spoke to you, I think we were talking about how a lot of people are just holding on to whatever cash they can. They're not really confident yet to put money into any particular investment because none of the stock markets have delivered either over this period. Gold has gone up a little bit, as it always does as a hedge. The rand is struggling. The dollar's struggling, frankly. So a lot of people are still going, this cryptocurrency thing seems to me to be the most safe bet because at least it isn't controlled by politicians. Is that still true?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's certain cryptocurrencies that some may argue are better than others, but the one true one that isn't controlled by absolutely anybody that I would probably advocate for the most is Bitcoin. Like, absolutely nobody can change the code of that. There's a fixed supply. There's absolutely nobody that can influence that. And that will basically keep your purchasing power over time or over a longer term. Like, I mean, with the Rand, you've seen inflation recently. The dollar got absolutely printed into the abyss. So, I mean, holding all of your savings in cash isn't the best advice, but I certainly would have a cash pile that you can obviously cover your expenses and save and invest. Those are the kind of just general advice that I would probably give. I mean, realistically, I can't give like the perfect advice, unfortunately, because I'm not no financial advisor. No one can advise on crypto.
Sure.
But the best kind of advice in any kind of crazy down market or recession or anything like that, it's just to survive. Just keep your head above water. So make sure you've got some cash piles. If you are still like really trying to invest, I mean, stick to your guns. Yeah. Don't let your emotion take better of you. And I mean, everyone's been panicking and selling absolutely everything they can, which is actually the worst time you can do it really is selling into fear. From all the investing books I've read, the best time you can buy is actually buying into the fear and selling when everybody's just skipping and jumping over the moon. Because it's probably generally a top in the market. Whenever
it's easy to say that, Chris, but you actually have to have money lying around, which I don't think a lot of people do right now. It makes it a bit tougher.
Unfortunately.
All right.
So you always got to keep a cash pile.
So your advice, and I think it's good advice, just from the point of view of the general kind of outlook on the economy, both here and in America, and in the rest of the world, because let's face it, you know, China doesn't know what to do either at this point. And everybody's a little bit nervous. You should try and hold on to what you've got. Try not to lose. Surviving is thriving. Am I right? Mm-hmm. That's a fair assumption from what you've said. All right. So any promos on this week that people can buy into?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, we obviously massive advocates of Bitcoin and the whole world of crypto. So, I mean, I'm a big Bitcoin guy myself. And mm-hmm. with this massive crash, I mean, at $65,000, everyone was saying, I want to go back in time so I can buy 20,000 and buy it at 30,000. And we've actually got a massive opportunity on the cards right now, which I'm certainly taking advantage of. And at Revix, we're making it possible for everyone else to. So right. we've waived all of our buy-in fees. So essentially, you could basically buy into Bitcoin without paying any fees. Which is a really cool opportunity to add some Bitcoin to your portfolio. So that we've got that promotion running until, I think it's the 21st of June.
Fantastic. All right, go and take a look. You can find out more at revix.com and say hi to everybody there for us. I saw this ad while I was reading the headlines this morning. Here's Sean Saunders talking to somebody at Business Talk. So you could see he's been busy as well. That's why we don't always get to see him in the mornings. But there he is talking about the latest innovations on Revix.com. Go and sign up today if you haven't signed up already. Verify your ID, add funds, select the bundle of your choice, and watch this roller coaster because it's going to be fun. So go and do that ASAP. Join in the excitement of cryptocurrency. Don't sit there complaining when it goes back up to 40 or maybe 50. Maybe, God knows, it's been there before, $60,000. And you go, oh, I wish I'd bought in at 30. Now's your chance. All right. Thanks very much, Chris. Hey, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me on. Cheers, guys.
Cool, dude. Bye-bye. There's Chris Beamish from Revix.com. But it's like,
I'm still behind when it comes to crypto, and a friend of mine tried to get me into NFTs. I'm like, what is that, bro? It's art and this. Yeah, and
I don't understand NFTs,
apes and stuff.
You know what? Do me so. I'm not going to even try and get into that. I don't know the first thing about it. So we had experts on here who were trying to explain to me how it works, and I was like, nah, the crypto stuff I can get my head around, but NFTs, not a chance. It's way beyond my pay grade. But as I was saying to Chris, the problem isn't that we are investing badly. It's that we don't have any spare money around to invest. I think that's the truth for everybody. So maybe we just need to plan with what little we have a bit better. I don't know. Everybody says that, but it's hard to do, man.
True. Oh man!
All right.
I'm still struggling. I'm still learning. Not that I'm not. I don't read about it. Even Bitcoin. I was like, okay, let's see. I've invested a bit in Bitcoin, but it's just that money that you test with. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, whatever happens to this money, let's see what you know.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
But that's actually the smart way to do it.
That's good.
I mean, because then if it does like lose half its value, you're not going to be sitting there crying because it's your life savings. I know some people who have borrowed money to buy Bitcoin, and they're now sitting with debts that they can't repay because they thought, oh, it's just going to keep on going up and up and up. And now they're sitting there going, what am I going to do now?
You don't want Julius coming to your door and be like, pay back the Bitcoin.
I can't imagine Julius doing it, but I think that's a good, if you want to be frightened into realizing something you shouldn't have done, then that's probably the way to do it. Pay back the Bitcoin. I love it. So that is Revix.com. Go and check them out. By the way, we'll be talking to Leighton Beard in the next hour. I know this is something that affects all of us, even those of us who are not invested in cryptocurrency. You need to know about this. The price of 95 octane will rise by 2 Rand 33 a litre today. 93 octane will go up by 2.43 a litre. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy announced diesel prices will also rise by 1 Rand 10 per litre and 1 Rand 7 per litre, respectively. Those are for the sulfur and sulfur-free. While illuminating paraffin will be 1 Rand 56 more expensive per litre. And lots of people in this country use paraffin.
Paraffin,
you know? Yeah. Anyway, so all of this is going to affect every single price on every single shelf. We're going to speak to Leighton Beard, who's from the Automobile Association, later on, to see if we can figure out a way around this. Just by the way, Sweet Pea brought up a thing here earlier, which I didn't know about. Sweet Pea says, apparently there have been planes. My husband flies to Joburg today, and the return leg was Kulula, so he's now stuck in Joburg with no flight home. No communication at all from Kulula. Thousands are stranded with BA and Kulula being grounded. I don't know about this.
Wow.
Yeah, if anybody knows anything about that, please let us know. That sounds terrible. Basit Sana saying, did you guys see what ComAir did? All flights cancelled as of today. What a shit show.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. This brings back bad memories, though? Man.
Well, this has happened. This has happened before. So I want to know how they can get away. Surely, you know what? Surely there's someone. If we have all these acts that protect the consumer in South Africa, surely somebody has something that we can enact as a class action lawsuit against these guys, figure out what's going on. If I'd booked a ticket and I was stuck somewhere where I didn't live, that's a big problem. And it costs you a fortune then to book on another plane to get back. But if you stay there, it's going to cost you even more.
That experience.
You've had that happen, I'm sure, when you tour in comedy. Yeah?
Yeah, I've been through that experience. Remember when one time did that to everybody?
Yeah. And yeah, what was the other one called? Nationwide. Remember them?
Yeah, yeah. I was flying from Cape Town to Johannesburg. And then you get there all confident, you know, with your ticket. And then those one-time people, they were just there. They're like, no, we don't know what to do, but their flights are not going anywhere today. You're like, what do you mean? You don't even know who to turn to. It's like, what about my money? It's like, just write your name there and we will call you.
And you never got anything, right? You never got any kind of, they didn't compensate you. They didn't give you another flight, nothing.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
So wait, what's the plan? Is that you must come up with a plan to either get another flight with another?
Yeah.
You are on your own.
Yeah, you just fuck up just book another flight there. Otherwise, you're going to be stressed and stranded, literally. Just sit there. No one cares.
And then, if they say you don't have money for, another flight, so do you just wait until one day, someday, they decide, hey, we are back in the air? That is so traumatic. That is scary.
Yep. Not fun at all. And this is happening. This is happening more and more. So I think we need answers from ComAir, and they better come up with some good explanations, because there are a lot of people who are going to be pissed off today. Imagine you woke up for a 6 a.m. flight and you get to the airport. I mean, you're already annoyed because it's 6 a.m., right?
Yeah.
You get to the airport and they say to you, oh, no, sorry, we don't have any flights. They've all been canceled for today. And imagine being the poor person at the counter who has to explain that, because they're going to get all the shit, right? The person who's standing at the counter is the one who you're going to be shouting at them, going, this is unacceptable. I demand to speak. And the managers are all going to be hiding away in an office somewhere.
They're not even coming in. They're not going to deal with anybody, because we already know there's going to be a Karen, and then there's going to be someone I want to speak to the manager. And then she has to be like, I'm sorry. Management is not in yet. There's nothing we can do. But that's just...
Listen to this. Samantha says, I'm still waiting for my BA Kulula money for flights that were cancelled in March.
March, me too. Yeah, true.
If Santaco ran AXA, says Corona's boring, we wouldn't have this problem. Yonda says, I flew BA yesterday and it was an absolute mess. And Kulula was grounded. Now I see my return has been changed to Fly Sapphire. So they changed that automatically for Yonda. That's very bizarre. Ooh. Wendy says they're in business rescue. It was announced last night at 11 o'clock. Oh, my God. Wow. The business rescue practitioner suspended all flights due to cash problems. They said it will remain suspended until they secure further funding. Apparently, EasyJet and BA in the United Kingdom have grounded hundreds of flights. Their excuse is that they're short-staffed. I've had a colleague and a friend grounded with shitty excuses. Yeah, you see. This is very bad. Diolinda says, I was asked by Lufthansa to pay 43,000 rand to travel to Porto Economy class. That was the cost per person. The audacity. Yes, sus. That's hectic.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
And for a little tiny economy seat, we're not even talking about business.
No, exactly. You start counting all those seats. Like, how many flights? would have I bought with all that money.
All right. We will be back in a moment. We've got Ndumiso Lindi here with us this morning. We've got Simpiwe Mtetwa, and we will be joined by Leighton Beard from the AA. We've also got an email from Tato that I want to get to, and plenty of other stuff. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com, Wednesday morning, live. CliffCentral.com.